in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We prayed that again in our liturgy this morning, just like we do every week, because the Lord's mercy is what we really need. Lucky thing, too, because mercy is what God is all about. That's exactly what the lawyer in our gospel lesson didn't get about God. But he's not alone. Mercy is what many people don't understand when it comes to God. They think God is all about laws. Do this. Don't do that. Thou shalt. Thou shalt not. Post the Ten Commandments in every courtroom and every schoolroom in America. That will make us a Christian nation, right? Wrong. Now, I know that sounds a bit un-American, but it is very theological, so let me explain. Thou shalt and thou shalt not is the same misunderstanding that caused the lawyer to go up to Jesus in his day with his law question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? In a do this, don't do that world, he wanted to know what he must do and what he must not do in order to go to heaven. How much is enough? But you can't blame him, can you? He wanted to be sure. Had he done enough? Had he passed the bar? Have you? And this man knew the law well. He was a lawyer. What's the law of God say? Jesus asks him. And he correctly answers, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your strength and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Great summary. He knew the law well, very well. But he still needed to know more. Was there some fine print, some obscure legal technicality he'd missed? His heart wasn't at peace. He needed to be sure. And so he asks, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus' response, well, you know the story, the Good Samaritan. First come the priest and the Levite. Good guys by anyone's standards, as good a guy as the lawyer was good. They knew the law as well as he did. And they didn't stop, which might have given the lawyer a glimmer of hope. If they didn't stop, then can I be that far off? Until the Samaritan came along. This guy didn't even know the law. He'd never been to law school, let alone seminary. He wasn't allowed in the Jewish temple. He was a half-Jew at very best. He comes along, and not worried about the law, not thinking about who the man in the ditch was, not thinking about eternal life, not worrying about all of the thou shalts and the shalt now thou shalt nots, he stops. He doesn't stop to keep the law. He doesn't stop because he's obligated by law to do so. He certainly doesn't stop to make brownie points with God. He just plain stops to help. He stops out of a sense of compassion and mercy. And that, Jesus wants the lawyer to know, is what the law is all about. In other words, keeping the law in order to get to heaven is not what the law is about. So quit trying to save yourself. Sometimes asking the right question makes all the difference. The lawyer asked Jesus the wrong question. And his wrong question set him off on the wrong track. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That's the wrong question. It's a question focused on himself. In other words, it's all about him. He wanted to get something out of his keeping of the law. He wanted to get heaven. Seems pretty logical, though. Do this and get that. But it's only logical because that's what sin has done to us. It has curved us in on ourselves. Sin makes us look at ourselves and worry about ourselves. Sin makes us selfish and self-centered. Even when we're trying to help others, we find ourselves looking out somehow for our own benefit as well. But in the beginning, when God created the world, it wasn't like that. When God created us, He didn't put our eyes in a place where they would be most beneficial to us individually. I mean, think about it. How much better it would have been if God had placed an eye in the front and an eye in the back of our heads. I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? Or that we would be like the sunfish, whose eyes can migrate to where they're needed. But our eyes weren't made for us to look at ourselves. We were made to look at others, to care for them, to see their needs, and for them to see your needs as well. What a world this would be if we would all do that kind of thing. Each of us acting as a part of one body, looking out for each other, serving, and then being served. Instead of you having to take care of yourself, if it is to be, it is up to me, you would have millions of other people looking out for you. That's the way God created this world. That's His order. That's His way. But what did Satan's words to Adam and Eve do? His words had them take their eyes off of God and off of each other and look toward their own desires. They desired for themselves. They grabbed for themselves. They ate for themselves, no longer serving but being self-serving. And ever since then, it's been that way. Every man for himself, and every woman too. I wouldn't want to be sexist. And that's where the lawyer's question comes from. What must I do to inherit eternal life for me? God gave the law not to give us something to do, not to make us good little boys and girls, but to force our eyes back out, to look at others, to make us stop looking at ourselves and worrying about ourselves, and instead look to the needs of others, neighbors, like our parents, our spouses, our children, our neighbors. But there's a problem. The law can't do that. It can tell us what to do, certainly, but it can't make us do it. It can tell us what to do, but it can't control the motivations behind what we do. Think of the speed limit. It can tell you the limit is 50 miles an hour, but you know, it can't make you drive 50 miles an hour. It can tell you the speed limit is 50 miles an hour, but it can't control the motivation behind why you stay beneath the limit. I mean, why do you stay beneath the limit? Do you stay beneath the limit because you are so moved and concerned about how much fuel this nation uses when it speeds along its highways? Do you stay beneath the limit because you are concerned about the effect of pollution on the environment and there won't be a world left for our children if we keep driving fast? Do you stay beneath the limit because you are concerned for the safety of others on the road beside you? Or do you stay beneath the limit because you don't want to get yourself a ticket? Because really, it's all about you. There's nothing wrong with the law. Not at all. We're not antinomians. And there's nothing wrong with the law of God. Rather, there's something wrong with us. The law can't make us what we need to be. It can't do it because you can't demand compassion. You can't command mercy. You can't force someone to feel deep down in their gut for somebody else. Compassion can't be forced. Compassion is something that makes us stop and help without any thought of our own benefit. Here's someone who needs my help, so I stop and help. And the only ones who can do that are those who already have eternal life. Only when you're not worried about yourself can you worry about others. Only when you know that everything that you need, both in this life and in the next, has been taken care of for you, only then can you take care of others. And so the only way you can go and do likewise, as Jesus says, is when you realize that Jesus has already done this for you. The moralistic preaching of this story kind of goes like this. And now, who are you going to be? Are you going to be the priest? Are you going to be the Levite? Or are you going to be the Good Samaritan? Who are you going to be? But that totally misses the point of the parable. In this parable, the lawyer and you and me are not the priest or the Levite or the Good Samaritan. We are the guy in the ditch. We're the ones who have been assaulted by sin, assailed by death, hounded by the devil, and left for dead. And is as if that is not enough, lying good as dead in the ditch, what do? We inflict even more wounds upon ourselves through our own sins, making the situation even worse than distressed. And no one in the world cares. No one. Because they're all in the same situation as you. Wounded, bleeding, dying, and trying to find life. Until along comes our Good Samaritan, our Savior Jesus Christ. He couldn't just pass us by. He couldn't just let us die in our sins. He couldn't, because deep down in his gut beats a compassionate heart. In theology, we'd say compassion and mercy are God's proper work. It's what God is really, deep down, all about. He saw our need. He stopped to help. He came not to give us more law, but to give sight to the blind, to give hearing to the deaf, cleansing to the lepers, and life to the dead. He stopped to show mercy and compassion. But most of all, he came to forgive us our sins. For in truth, our Good Samaritan does even more than the Good Samaritan in the parable. Jesus didn't come along just to patch us up for this life, only to let us die in the end anyway, but to trade places with us, to take our place in the ditch and give us his home in heaven. And so in mercy and compassion, he goes to the cross with all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our suffering, even with our death he goes. Not for himself, he didn't need it. He does it for us, to give us life, life from the dead. And that's the life that has been given to each of you. It's yours right now. You who once lay dead in the ditch of sin. When your good shepherd, when your good Samaritan stopped by here in the waters of holy baptism, he washed you clean of all of your sins and raised you to new life. In holy absolution, he set you on his donkey and bound your wounds and poured on you the oil of gladness and the forgiveness of your sins. And to his innkeepers, he said, "Forgive them with my forgiveness and feed them whatever the cost. Feed them with my most precious body and my most holy blood." and never just a little, but all that they need from a supply that never runs out. All from your Good Samaritan, your Good Shepherd, who died for you on Good Friday to make everything good again, as good as it was in the beginning before sin, good. Good as God intended it to be good. And so what the law cannot do, Jesus has done. The law, no matter how many you give, the law cannot make you good. It can only declare you guilty. But Jesus declares the guilty good. New birth, good. New start, good. New life, good. New heart, good. And having received God's incredible mercy and compassion, you can dare now give it to others. Not because you have to. Certainly not because they deserve it, because they don't deserve it any more than you did. But because you can. Because you're free for the first time in your life to keep the law, to show mercy and compassion. Free to do it because there's nothing you earn by doing it. Paul said it this way in our second lesson. He, Christ Jesus, he has qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints in light. He has already qualified you. He has given this to you. You are forgiven. You have as an inheritance the pure gift of eternal life. And so the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life, makes absolutely no sense to you now, does it? Because it's already yours by inheritance, by gift. In the name of Jesus, amen.